Family Chats. I am Maureen.
I'm Amanda.
I'm Jeanette.
I'm Bethany.
I'm Tiffany.
And we are talking The Resident Season 5, Episode 9 tonight. And this was, I don't know how I felt about this episode. It was good, and there were bad parts, and then there was callbacks to first season, original season. So I think it was a mixed bag, but I think there were some really good things that happened in this episode. And I think that in the intro, we kind of saw what we think, we theorized what our big bad was going to be about, right? We thought Big Pharma, we thought maybe something like that. But I think our big bad is overworked public hospital.
Yep.
And we saw a lot of that in the beginning. And I like that they did sort of a montage in the intro. And that was really interesting to me. I like that they gave us, it was like they gave us two sides. They gave us glimpses of what we hope to see with these characters, but then they gave us glimpses of areas that overworked and overdone. Mm-hmm. And like we see Conrad and he's trying to give Gigi his dinner. And I think that this is going to be actually become a big sticking point. He was paged constantly while he's trying to make his daughter dinner.
If you notice, like a lot of them were, and I liked how that was subtle in that it was just people getting pages or calls and
they were all different things, all different areas where they were really needed. Of course, we didn't see Conrad's, we know what he does for a living.
Yeah.
So we can guess where he's needed. And then we have Kit, who sleeping on her couch again. Belle alluded to the fact that she's got an overnight. Leela had an early surgery, had to leave a note. Devin wasn't even supposed to work that day.
Nope.
And he was called in. Hey, can you fill in the ER? Mm-hmm. The one thing I didn't like in the intro is that just a fan of AJ's that he signed her back and then slept with?
I'm so annoyed with AJ. I can't even handle it anymore.
Yeah. Like, he looks sad to be leaving her, but he signed her shoulder.
Yep.
I mean,
how messed up is that?
So it's messed weird. Up.
I don't like
his,
it.
His page was his mom saying struggling to breathe, right? That was the page that called him away.
Yeah. His mom is having complications.
Yes. And then in the midst of that, he was also getting messages from pages or text messages from pages. Do they use pages anymore in that capacity? He was, I'm really young and I'm really hip, so leave me alone. He was also getting text messages from his agent saying he had to flat. And I think that's going to be, and this is what I liked about the intro, is that AJ, we can see he's going to have to make a choice between fame and between all these things with his career, or humbling himself and staying a doctor close to home, taking care of his mom. With Conrad, it's going to be between Gigi and being a dad, because he even says in the opening, I'm a bad dad.
And then she says, no, you're not.
Because you're can not. That kid say anything wrong? I mean, no. Honest to God, she could threaten me with a knife and I'd be like, oh,
cute as shit. No eggs, daddy. Poor thing.
Oh. And with Devin, it's obviously going to be his struggle between what his heart's desire is and then having to continue to put more time into this job he's trying to move away from than he has time for. And so we see all these things. And what I really like that they mixed in there was everyone's stressed out. Everyone's mad that they're going into all these different places, getting called away from what they want to do. And then there's Padma in her van, nothing but her van to her name, rolling out her yoga mat and relaxing.
Yep.
What a juxtaposition that is. And I thought that was really, I don't even know why I thought it was so brilliant, but I thought it was brilliant. Anyone else feel that way?
I did too.
Yeah. I did too. I loved it.
Like, what did you guys think about that?
It kind of drew back to what she was saying, you know, when she had that ordeal with her health as a child and how it just kind of brought her to, like she said, it freed me from a lot of things, because she was able to, you know, not take a day for granted. You never know what a day may bring. And she learned that. So I think that was part of the others are in a point of their life where they're getting, you know, text messages and, you know, they've all had their own ordeals that could easily teach them the same message, but she's the one that's acting on it in a free spirit kind of way. So I think it was just kind of like they were showcasing not only where they are in life, but how what's happened in life has molded them. And in this case, you know, it's released her to just be that free spirit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you can kind of sense that's where everyone wishes they were at mentally.
Right.
But they can't get there.
Yeah.
And then you have like the interns who they're in the prime of their life. They don't have any of the concerns or the heaviness that the doctors have. They're talking about all the procedures that they're rocking and killing it at. And then we find out, that's the first time I think I really found out that Trevor was the golden boy, but he was like, cause we kind of saw how Conrad talked to him, but I didn't realize Conrad was going to pull him under his wing like that.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought he would.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I think, I mean, just the way that Trevor is sort of a renegade too, my guess is, we didn't see young Conrad, but my guess is he probably sees a lot of himself in Trevor.
That's true.
So I think he'll definitely like help him out here.
Mm-hmm. I think that was almost like one side and then like looking back from the other side. I kind of got that too, you know, seeing them together. He could recognize a lot of the places that Trevor currently is because he was probably there at one point too.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, now I'm looking back from the other side of where you're at right now. And I can feel like I can lead you out to a place that you need to be, you know? So it kind of made sense.
Yeah.
You could see that when he was talking to Belle about it too.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I don't know why I didn't see it. I just kind of assumed that Devin was going to take on that role, but I guess at the end of the last episode, I shouldn't have guessed that anymore.
Yeah. Cause he's not going to be around.
So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I guess you kind of see that when the crash came in and they're all separating, like all hands on deck, and Devin tries to take Trevor. And I did think it was a little weird how Conrad called him out. Like, hey, Pravesh, give me Trevor. I thought that was a little weird. I did. Yeah. I have to be honest. It was just the way he said it was just like, they don't usually do that on the show.
Yeah.
Well, and he's probably remembering the previous situation, you know, and how Devin kind of sought out his advice. So I think he was like, okay, now here's another situation. We know how he's reacted in the past. I know how I would react if I were in his position. So let me guide him because I think I can walk him through what's about to happen versus letting him, you know, not find his footing. And then I think that was Conrad's way of, I know something could go wrong here, so I'm going to take over. And
that's true.
And this is the first set of like interns we've ever had. Like we had Devin, but it wasn't like a group of interns.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. So.
It was weird for me to see them roaming like that. Like,
yeah.
This doesn't belong on this show.
I know. It was weird for me because I'm like, this, it feels like Grey's Anatomy where you've always got like your set of interns and they're each on certain stuff, you know, they each have a certain specialty that day and, you know, you're with plastics or you're wherever. So.
I've never seen Grey's Anatomy, but when I do the pictures for it, I have to look up. I have to flash forward through videos.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought of too, is this is like Grey's Anatomy or Scrubs. It's weird.
Oh, Scrubs.
It is a good show. But I think that we get to see a different side of both Trevor and Conrad as they attach to that patient, because we see they're handling a different patient. And Conrad and Trevor, they're showing the similarities in them because they instantly, as this woman was talking to them about her lacerations, and this guy just came out of nowhere, and they both look at the same time to the dude who's responsible for it all. They both had the same thought, and they both go over to this now new patient to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. And that, did you want, like, I honestly thought they're going to get through to him. It's going to be like this big save by the end of it.
Yeah.
And then it really wasn't. And I was really disappointed. Like, I thought for sure, like, they were going to get through to them, but I guess it's probably better that they didn't, because this was a lesson for Trevor that, you know, you're not always going to be able to come in and be this renegade and this be able to just save everyone. It's sometimes, no, they don't want to be saved. And that's just how it is.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Yeah. At first you were like, what are they going to do with this character? And then you realize this is a huge turning point for Trevor, that the purpose that storyline served was to really, you know, help the character of Trevor and help him learn a really hard lesson. And you realize, you know, yeah, you can't save everybody.
And I mean, I guess, you know, because when he first came in, you know, his idea was that he was lucky that, you know, nothing bad could happen to him. So I think I thought, you know, when they explained to him, like, really, like, this is you're not lucky, you are going to die without this. And then it turned into, well, I don't want anything foreign in my body, and I don't want this, and I don't want that. I mean, I think that all surprised me. I thought they were going to be able to get through to him when they convinced him that he wasn't lucky and wasn't going to, you know, survive all these different things.
I think I kind of saw it playing out the way it did, because I think they were highlighting two things. I think they were teaching Trevor a lesson, but I think they were also highlighting something that's not usually highlighted on these shows, that patient does have the ultimate say in their care. If they don't want care, they don't get care. And as much as it would drive us crazy, I mean, can you imagine being a doctor in that situation?
No.
Have the tools at your hands to help these people and they won't let you help them. That has to be the worst feeling in the world. I cannot imagine what that feels like. And that's not something that we would choose for ourselves.
Right.
But they were highlighting that the patient has absolute right over themselves and their body and what happens to it. And it's,
yeah,
it's a bummer and it was sad, but I kind of figured that's where they were going with it, because that has to be taught. And doctors need to understand that your will doesn't trump theirs. It's their body, not yours. You might have the tools, you might have the know-how, but you don't trump them.
And it was just crazy because it's not like, you know, like in a situation where it's a procedure, but it's a risky procedure and something bad could happen. This is something that happens all the time. This was a fairly like minimal risk procedure. I mean, like he would have been fine and he still didn't want to take it. And it's just hard for me to comprehend.
I like what how Conrad kind of said it, because I was literally thinking the same thing and I did not expect Conrad to say it, but you know, when he was saying, you don't know that, you know, God could have been sitting right next to the inventor of this pacemaker, you know, because here he was, oh well, God's hand is just going to reach down, and sometimes it doesn't always work that way. I mean, sometimes he does split the seas and sometimes he makes a boat, sometimes he just walks on the water, but you just never know how he's gonna move, and he wants us to have that common sense. So I'm so glad that Conrad brought that up, because sometimes we just need to take a step back, you know, like he said, no, I'm in God's hands, but if you put himself in, if you truly put yourself in God's hands, you got to trust those hands instead of your own. And so I'm glad Conrad said that, but it was hard to see that, you know, because even, you know, when Cain, you know, Cain's friend, when she thought she was going to have to go on palaces, and, you know, she didn't want to have to go through that. And he was able to like convince her, and she chose, okay, I'm going to take the help, you know? And so often we see that in shows and we think that, oh, they're going to rescue the patient. It's going to have a happy ending. And I think this just kind of, you know, helped that hard, harsh reality that, you know, like we're saying, not every doctor can save every patient, and it's tragic when it's at their own will, but it's a hard lesson that they all have to learn. You know, like she said, I agree, it's not something that I choose for myself or my family, but you know, it's something that they, like Conrad said, they were able to hold on to their own principles in the process of this.
By letting him hang on to his, they were able to hang on to theirs.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I did feel bad for Conrad, because Trevor, being so new at this, couldn't understand the methodology behind this. And for him, it's no, there's no way. He has to be made to see reason. And if he doesn't, then, well, we're going to force him into it anyway, whether he likes it or not.
Yeah.
And he was so young and he's so passionate. Mm-hmm. When he looked at Connor, he said, you're supposed to be a renegade. You, this did make me laugh, because this is such a huge technicality on Conrad's part. He's like, you drilled a hole into some guy's head. You're not even a surgeon. And Conrad's like, if he said, do everything but drill a hole in my head, I wouldn't have drilled a hole in his head. That's a huge technicality there, because who's going to think to mention, hey, by the way, don't drill a hole in my head if I happen to pass out. Like, but he had a point. You can't, because it would be very easy to take that logic and say, well, they didn't think about that.
Yeah.
But the fact of the matter is, it was said by someone cognizant. And you cannot overstep that. And I love that even AJ, what AJ said, when he's like, listen, you're the green beret, the green cadet, trying to talk to the general in the field. Go down there, watch him, listen to him, and learn something. Because what he learned is that Conrad didn't like his decision. Conrad didn't like what he was forced to do. Conrad did not like watching this man die, but he had no other choice. And that's how you be a doctor and love someone through him. That's how you be a doctor and care to them. Care for them until you can't care anymore. And they never gave up until his heartbeat reached 25.
Yeah.
And even then they didn't give up. Conrad just said, now we're just going to be here with him so he doesn't die alone. Like that's the whole highlight of that was showing them how to actually be a doctor and care for someone through it.
So the parallel also of, you know, how Conrad was saying, you know, we don't know how God's going to work. That's so true, because not everybody wants to be saved, yet God's never going to give up. He's always going to be right there walking beside you, even if you choose not to receive or accept that. So that was like a cool parallel of, you know, not only was Conrad telling him about it, but he was showing him in his actions. So it kind of related back to that. So it was a parallel that you could see and here. So I thought that was like a very it was hard to watch, but it was a very moving concept to see that happen.
Mm-hmm. And you see the pain all over Trevor's face. I mean, both of them were crying.
Mm-hmm.
And Conrad looked at him and said, yeah, that man, oh, does gosh. Matt, is he like the master of the one tear thing?
I know.
Because he does that him. All the time. No, Trevor had like both. Trevor was like both.
I mean, like there was something, I don't know. Trevor's sad face got me this time. Like, I don't know. I felt so bad.
Really sad. Because that's the first time you felt like compassion for him as a human being rather than, dude, do you always have to be so arrogant?
Yeah.
It was the first time it was like, oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure as like a doctor, like you, the first person you lose, I'm sure all of them are, but I'm sure the first person you lose is exceptionally difficult.
Yeah.
And in a situation like this, where you know that you could have saved them, it just has to, I mean, I would be a wreck. I felt really
And Conrad, I like that Conrad highlighted that too, where he's like, when Trevor said it wasn't what he thought, and Conrad's like, what do you think it would be, a blaze of glory, blood splattered all over your white coat? Like, it's...
Maybe you do, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, well, of course, because if you can save them, you're going to save them. And if someone's going to die in your watch, it's going to be because you could not save them.
Because after nothing that could be done.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I like that they didn't just brush under the rug that it was Trevor's first loss, because that is going to profoundly affect how he does his job going forward. And he even looked at, he saw Conrad take out the temporary pacemaker. Think about it. And he begged him to put it in, and he didn't do it. Even after being begged by him to do it, he didn't do it.
Yeah.
It was definitely, you could see like Trevor, you could see it in his eyes as he's learning this lesson, and it was painful, but it was like he crossed, you know, to the next level, if you will. You know, it was very humbling lesson for him, and it was very profound, and you could just see that character development on screen. And I think he's going to benefit that for the rest of his career. You know, that's always going to be the first patient he lost, you know, 20, 30 years, like, you know, down the road, he's going to be telling that story to, you know,
maybe
Trevor coming in, you know, this is my first loss. This is how you deal with it.
Yeah. And then sort of on the flip side, we got to see Leela and her learning something about patient care and learning about, you know, I think, you know, like Belle explaining to her about, you know, how this person has to make these choices, and these aren't always something that we just have to come in and say, this is what we do. So I thought that was, I enjoyed watching her like have to maneuver through figuring out how to do that.
I really liked Leela this episode. She really stepped up her game.
She did.
I like seeing her now. I love that they're showing more of her and more of her surgeries. I forget what this lady needed. What did she need done?
Something to her liver.
And a benign tumor.
Benign
in her abdomen.
That's right.
And there was something that happened at the operating table where they had to take off part of her liver because she was bleeding out because of the pressure on the benign tumor.
Oh my gosh. I would have been freaking out had I been in Leela's position when Belle had to leave.
Yeah.
It's just like,
what
do you mean you're leaving?
Mm-hmm.
I would have been like, get somebody else in your place. I was like, when I was watching that, I was like, where is Mina when you need her? Like, somebody go to Nigeria and get her, because I need her.
Someone go to Nigeria and get her.
To be here with me.
But Leela handled it. I mean, just
he did.
Like a boss. So
yeah. And what I really loved about her in this episode is that this patient didn't come in knowing what she needed.
No. No, I mean, like, she had to figure it all out. I mean, and this patient, it made me laugh at first. Like, just, I don't know. Sometimes the facial expressions of everybody on this show, just, they're all so good at it. Like, when she's telling them about, you know, like, what'd she say? Life's a joke. And Devin was like, what?
Yeah.
Even my comic strip. I don't know. I just love their, they all do so well with their facial expression.
I would have probably, yes.
Maureen would say.
Wait, what?
They're nonverbal.
Nonverbal.
My sweet spot.
Well, it's true, because if you have it in you to act, I mean, obviously anybody can say something and you know what they're saying, but you got to be able to convey the message even without words. And the fact that like the whole cast seems to be capable of doing that, I mean, it makes it a really great show, you know, to be able to have that you know, ability in their acting.
And what makes it great is because it grounds it in reality. And that's something we've said about the show from the beginning. And that's one of the things I liked about our Do Not Resuscitate patient that Conrad and Trevor had, is it's real. That stuff happens. And it's one of the reasons, like, for the nonverbal, it's one reason I don't call people ever. I hate it. I would rather stab myself in the foot than call somebody on the phone. I hate it so much because I can't pick up I'm missing their body language. I'm missing their facial expressions. I can't grasp fully what they're saying with their tone because all I'm hearing is a voice and I can't pick up on any of the nonverbal cues. But when we talk to them in person, there is so much more communication that happens. And this show does really, really well at highlighting that aspect.
Like a text message or an email, you know, if somebody's using all caps, you're going to think they're angry, but what if they're just extremely, you know, excited?
Yeah.
You know, they're like, this is the coolest thing ever. And you're thinking like, why are you yelling at me?
I never use all caps.
I do. Me neither. Cause I'm a
friend. Notice when I used it today.
I'm never angry. I guess. I don't know. Not really. Not often. I really, if I'm angry,
what is she talking about?
I'm not responding. Like, you won't get a message from me if I'm angry about something. So
did you catch when I used all caps today and Patty mocked
me?
Yeah,
I know. You were talking about Riggins.
No, I was talking about Kitsch.
Well, it's the same thing.
They are not the same thing. Dare you not watch a Taylor Kitsch and Dylan O'Brien movie? What's the matter with you people?
I mean, I watched half of it today until I had to do actual work. So.
Yeah, we kind of got off track. Now we're on Taylor Kitsch and Dylan O'Brien again. Shocker.
Every week,
every podcast.
So I think that one thing I really liked about Lila in this episode is her patient didn't come in knowing what she wanted like the DNR guy did. She came in unknowing and unsure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's pretty much me as a patient. I'm very indecisive, so I always ask my doctors, yeah, what do you think I should do? Yeah. Or what would you do if you were me? Yeah, so I really related to this patient a lot. And Lila, you know, at first she was a little indecisive herself because she's not the patient. So, you know, it's the patient's choice. But by the end of the episode, she, you know, with Belle coaching her, I really liked her conversations with Belle. Mm-hmm. Like how they're dynamic together. They're really cute. Yeah, by the end of the episode, she was confident. I mean, she was really confident in her, you know, helping the patient make this decision. Yeah. I liked what she said when she sat down with the patient when she walked outside, when she said, what can I do to help you make this decision? Mm-hmm. I love that.
Yeah.
And just the way she said it too, like you could tell she cared, you know.
Genuinely.
Exactly. She was genuine about it, which you don't see in doctors a lot.
Except for Devin.
Right. Well, yeah, that's right.
Because Devin is dead.
Okay, real doctors.
oh, you mean real people.
Why would we talk about the real world? I mean, you
that. Yeah, my doctors don't look like Devin.
Well, except for that one that gave me my COVID shot the other day. I sent you all the picture. He not looked like him, but he was equivalently like attractive. I'm just like, okay. Anyways, but no, I thought it was like a really good learning moment for Lila, because if you notice, like at the beginning of it, she wanted the lady just to give her an answer. And I think it goes back to the whole overworked thing. She was in a rush. She was trying to do all this. And it was that moment, like Tiffany mentioned, when she said, what can I do to help you? I think it was a moment when she like slowed down and was like, okay, let's figure this out together. And like, instead of, because she was kind of rushing her before and not her fault. I mean, like we've talked about, everybody's just overwhelmed, but I think it was reflecting on the patient and the patient, it was making her more overwhelmed to see, you know, her sort of rushing her into the decision. So
I think too, because in the preview leading, or not the preview, in the you know, in the beginning of the episode when they say last week or last time, and they highlighted her father saying, I don't know that you can do this work with your condition.
Yeah,
you could see that timidity come out in Lila in this episode.
Yep.
She was afraid to do this on her own because her father, whether or not your parents, whether or not you get along with them, what they say is going to impact you because you're always going to be their child, their son or their daughter. It's always going to impact you. And as much as she didn't want it to, and as much as she worked hard to overcome her dyslexia as a surgeon, I think what her dad said impacted her enough that she was uncertain of her abilities. You see it when Belle had to leave the room. He's like, you can do this. Nurse Jessica, you can do this.
Yeah.
So she needed to be, and what I like about that is that she was left in the lurch. And I think that this is going to be a moment where she can go back to her father and say, I was left with no other choice but to succeed, and I succeeded. Mm-hmm. I didn't, my dyslexia didn't make me kill somebody. My dyslexia didn't dampen what I can do as a surgeon. I was able to do this because my patient needed it, and I'm good at what I do. And I think it's going to be a really big competency for her in the end. But I do think that the overwork thing is going to come back to bite her a little bit. Like, it's going to bite everybody, I think.
Yeah.
This definitely was focused on character development in this episode.
Mm-hmm. You know? Absolutely.
Trevor's journey. You see Leela's journey with very opposite, you know, situations, mm-hmm. yet it's taking them to the next level. And yeah. I think it was really focused more on, you know, the characters being overworked and how these situations that they're currently in right now is going to pull them, how it's going to affect them and ultimately influence them, you know.
Yeah.
Actions. So it definitely was one of those, like, okay, here's what's happening, and it's where is it going to lead, and where are they going to choose to let it take them?
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of everybody being overworked, I like that Kit had Padma come in from her little flyer that she saw. I think mm-hmm. she can really help everybody, because clearly everybody's going to get burnt out very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I think, and again, how Padma's free spirit, now she has something to bring to the table as well. And, you know, she may not be a surgeon or, you know, a doctor, but she has something that she can bring to the table. And to see that, you know, Kit's realizing, hey, my people are overworked, because she can see it in herself,
mm-hmm.
you
know,
overworked. And I loved, like, when she found the little note, reminded me of like Lane and Gilmore Girls, when she puts up like drummer wanted, drummer.
Oh, new. Yeah.
It's all like, look, there it is. But, you know, that's pretty cool, because I love how they can bring Padma into the storyline.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's really cool that they made her part of the show. It looks like she's not just a cameo, like she's mm-hmm. going to have, or maybe a cameo in an episode, but not just a fleeting character.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that they're able to work that in.
Mm-hmm.
And not just be like, oh, well, I had lunch with my sister, you know,
yeah.
and she has something that she can offer to them, because here we've seen all of these characters rushing around saving everyone else's life. Mm-hmm. But now she gets to rush in
mm-hmm.
and help save them, mm-hmm. you know, and teach them. Of course, it didn't quite work the way she wanted it to, though.
I mean, no, they all got paged out within minutes.
I know. And it's like exactly proving Kit's point of why she wanted Padma there in the first place, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, she had everything set up with the yoga mats and everything. And okay, we're going to, you know, I'm going to swoop in and I'm going to help you guys relax and care for yourself. And nope, never mind. But I loved seeing Dr. Bell there. I mean, Dr. Nolan there. Like, he was the only one that didn't get paged. Like, really, like.
He did right at the very end.
Oh, yeah, that's true. That is true.
He was so funny. There were two lines in one of those, two lines in the whole scene that I love so much. The first was when AJ didn't want to do it. And I'm loving Padma, because I think mm-hmm. she's so funny.
Oh, my God. I laughed so hard at that.
She said, I can speak from experience that you could use some work on the flexibility. And the look on Devin's face when she said that to him, I mean, they were all just like, okay. And then, of course, poor Doc. I mean, she needed to go to lunch with Dr. Nolan is what mm-hmm. I thought.
I would.
Lunch with him. I would, too.
I mean, for nothing else, he's hilarious.
He's a free lunch, you know.
He's a good-looking dude.
Yeah,
well, she said that too. She was like, you're cute, but never is gonna happen. Like, it's never gonna happen, you know.
Like, and I like that after that he went, so is that a no to the food then?
That's classic Nolan, though.
God, I love him so much.
But you know, please, can we get more? Please. Yeah, just please.
More. I put it all over Instagram and everything. So I mean, like, so more. And I did you all see like Michael Hogan, like what his comment back to me was?
Mm-mm.
Oh, he commented on our post. He said,
I'm gonna look it up
your checks
now.
In the mail.
Like, we'll take it. That is perfect.
But I thought that was so funny.
It was absolutely hilarious, though, because just the timing, it was perfect and everything. Like, everybody gets a page, they all leave, and there he is, just like on the yoga mat. And it was just classic Dr. Nolan.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, we just all like bursted out laughing in that moment, you know, and that's what I feel like, especially in a show like this.
I'm going to post about it like every week, I think.
Yes.
Need them to hear us. And anyone that's listening to this, like, you do it too. And I started my own hashtag. Like
hashtag more Dr. Nolan.
More Dr. Nolan.
More Dr. Nolan.
Let's just do it.
I'm going to say this every episode now too. Can we please get a CTV narration from Dr. Nolan? Please.
Yes.
Just an entire episode. It doesn't have to be so serious. It could just be fun and entertaining and just listening to him be locked in a security room narrating footage that he sees in the hospital. Oh, that would be amazing. And have Michael Hogan just come up with all his own stuff.
Yeah.
You don't even have to write anything. Just have him come up with his own stuff.
It would be great.
Ad lib with the camera on, and there you go. Hey, we got the Mary Poppins costume, right? Maybe we can do this right. Yes. You know,
I think this is actually his idea. The CTV footage was his idea.
Yeah, but like we can actually make it happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, his idea, but like let's just push for it.
Yeah. But what I like too about the scene, other than Dr. Nolan, because I mean, anytime he's on screen is a good day for everybody watching The Resident. Yeah. But I think that you could see Padma's frustration and every time they got paged away. And even with Kit, within minutes, she's paged away. Everyone else rushing away. But the look of determination on her face tells me that this is going to be something where she's like a doctor. This is her field. This is her diagnostic field where she figures out, okay, how can I help you? And I think that's an interesting parallel to her sister earlier, looking at that patient saying, how can I help you make this decision? Padma's going to look at this and say, okay, how can I help these people not die? Because lack of sleep, being overworked, can lead to horrifying things.
Yeah.
And I think that this is going to be her place in here, is figuring out how she can help these doctors, even when they're fulfilling their responsibilities.
Mm-hmm. Bring some balance to their day. And I think that's perfect. I love how they were able to find that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. It's cool to see, you know, that development happen, you know, because I think they're all overworked. I mean, look at even, we mentioned earlier, AJ, I mean, he's got all of that going on. You know, he's got his mother, he's got his job at Chastain, you know, he's got now this newfound fame with his book. And, you know, so he's got a lot going on. So he needs like some calming, some centering. But I mean, I did see a change also too, like he seemed to kind of come down a little bit more to reality in this episode. You know, it wasn't quite so at the height of, you know, a celebrity. Yes, he kind of calmed down a little bit.
Man, more. I hope they get smacked all the way out of him.
Yeah, well, and then you see it too. I mean, you know, Belle kind of went through the same storyline. You know, I mean, we keep talking about how his story is definitely a redemption story. I mean, you know, from Hodad to not Hodad to somebody that, you know, was not a bad guy, but yet he went through that whole same story, and then he came down from that. And you know, so you see all of those patterns. And I mean, you can see AJ going through that, from being, you know, arrogant and coming down from that, and then getting into his celebrity, and then, you know, maybe this is his turning point. But it's almost like it's full circle. And I've seen even full circle as well too, because, you know, even though Belle is definitely in a better place, and he's an endearing character now, but it was almost like it made a full circle when he's in the operating room. Automatically, when that scene happened, we were like, Hodad. You know, Hodad is back, hands of death and destruction. Like, because now you see him right back to where he was in season one. Just his character has developed, but now he's dealing with this issue again.
Yeah. You know,
that he had.
Yeah, but I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, the character development of how he handled that.
Yes.
I mean, I was so proud. I mean, it wasn't even a moment of hesitation when he started shaking. He just said, I need to leave. And even though you could tell Leela was completely freaked out by the whole thing and having to do it on her own, I mean, he, you know, was just like, you've got this, you know, and he removed himself from the situation. And I was really proud of the way he did that, because
absolutely.
You know,
it was
season one, Belle obviously didn't do that kind of stuff. He just tried to hide it, you know, and not only did he do that, but then he went to Conrad and like told him immediately, and was like, let's figure out what's going on, even though who knows what this will do to his career. I mean, because it's not even just that. We noticed like there were some issues with his eyesight too, correct?
He had some vertigo.
Yeah, vertigo.
Yeah. So I don't know where this is going to lead him, but I mean, I was proud of him taking the steps to
absolutely
It seems like a different issue than what he had in the first season with his hand.
Yeah. Yeah, because his hand, he wasn't shaking. Well, he was when he had to keep the coffee, but it's in the surgery, his hand like locked up like this.
Yeah.
Like he couldn't move it. Almost like in a, like I had used to have a friend who had, I don't know if it was cerebral palsy, but he was in a wheelchair. His hands were stuck in this position and he couldn't move his hands at all. It was like rigor mortis almost in his hands, but obviously it doesn't happen in real life.
I wonder if it's, they're going to lead it to like Parkinson's or something, but then that means his career is over. And I mean, I'd hate them to see them do anything to Bell that would be long-term against his career or against his appearances, unless maybe the actor is thinking about, you know, taking some time away. But I mean, I'm hoping this is just a plot point, something that can be resolved, because I'd hate for it to lead into something to the point where he's hindered. You know, he's no longer there in the same capacity he is now.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, what I like too is that even when Leela said, "Are you okay, Dr. Bell?" he immediately said, "No."
Right.
He is not even that he's just like, "You can handle this. I'm going to go." He told her right away, "No, I'm not okay."
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave. And even when she came up to him afterwards, he said, "Listen, I didn't want you to have two patients, so I removed myself."
Yeah.
Right. Like he was cognizant enough to think a couple of steps ahead to what is this going to look like if I stay here? How is it going to look? But he guided her still as much as he could through that process before he left the room.
Yeah.
And even while he was, even while she was talking to her patient, it was Belle who was guiding her every step of the way, coaching her. No, you are a doctor. You are her doctor. You are good enough, smart enough, knowledgeable enough to make this decision. You're a doctor.
Yeah. And that was cool to see that, like we said, the character development of him, that even though he may have an issue with his hands, he's not the same Dr. Bell he was in season one. And to see that redemption story take place and you know, at season one, he was a villain.
Yeah.
And here he's not, you know, he's absolutely not. He's, again, an endearing character and be able to see where he's come from and to have learned from his mistakes. And I think that's going to be what they were saying with Trevor. And with Leela. And now you're seeing the other side of that. You know, he was Trevor and Leela at one point, and now he's beyond that. He's living out what he's learned from those situations.
I can't hear the word Honed, by the way, without saying it in my head in Josh's voice.
We should have a little sound effect of Josh saying Honed, and we just
press it dub over when anyone of us says it.
Absolutely.
That's so funny.
Because when we first started podcasting with Josh, he would say Hodad a lot, but he would laugh when he said it. So it was very, very distinctive sound. And now I can't not hear it in that voice in my head. But I do like that he did go to Conrad at the end. I like how that played out.
I think so. And of course, that leads into the next episode too, of how is Conrad going to deal with this? How is he going to handle it?
Why do you think he went to Conrad?
Because Conrad will make sure to keep him accountable. And while Conrad would keep his confidence, Conrad is also responsible, smart enough, wise enough, and has dealt with this position before where he's not going to let Bell, he's not going to allow Bell to go into something stupid. Where Bell went to someone else, there's a chance that they might let him get away with it, even if he tried. And I think this is Bell's way of saving himself from making a stupid decision.
And Conrad's going to fight all the way too. Mm-hmm. He's going to do everything he can, you know.
Well, I mean, Conrad's our king of diagnosing things. Yep. So, I mean, I think it definitely makes sense for him to, if anybody's going to figure out what's going on, Conrad will.
And I like how smart he is.
I saw a comment on one in our group. I don't remember who it was from, but I thought this will be a cool idea that once they figure out what's wrong with Bell, that maybe Devin will get to do some sort of clinical trial on figuring out a way to help him. And I was like, that's a fun idea.
That's cool.
That's smart.
Let me see who said that, because we'll give them a shout out here.
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And that would be a good purpose to that plot point, you know?
Yeah, I thought so.
Have a reason for it, because I don't want them to use that as a means of exiting. It was
Jane Weirdy.
Yeah. She's a huge Bell fan, so that makes sense that she's thought a lot about this.
We are with you, Jane. Do you want me to read what she said, or you got it?
Love that idea. Yeah, I'll read exactly what she said. She said, he'll be diagnosed with a degenerative disease, and Devin will work on a clinical trial that can help him.
Wow.
I thought that was a really good idea.
That would be cool. That would be really cool.
Yeah.
We write the script.
You know?
Put Michael Hogan directs it, you know. Okay. We got this, Fox, we got this.
All right, so Michael Hogan, if you are listening to this, hit us up. I do write, sort of. Let's work out a script together and send it into Fox, and it'll be hilarious. It'll be just you. It'll be just you. Silence from everybody else. They still have to act and film the scenes. Yes. They'll be silent. It'll just be you.
Nonverbal.
Well, it's not nonverbal from Nolan, because he's going to be the star of that episode.
There you go.
That would actually be a really awesome episode.
Right? I will never stop talking about it until we see it happen. I genuinely will not stop. And like, it started off as a joke that he said, Michael Hogan said this. If you have not seen our interview with Michael Hogan, who is Dr. Nolan,
please
go back and listen to it, because it was so much fun to do. Mm-hmm. And I've listened to it a couple times since we did it, because it's just a fun interview to listen to.
Yeah.
And he said this in passing, because we were talking about how we needed more Nolan. He's funny every time he's on the screen. And he was like, yeah, it'll just be me in a closet narrating CDV footage. And all of a sudden, like,
that's perfect.
Yes.
Sounds so good.
He knows what he said. He has a theater background. He knows what he's talking about.
And Irving does too. Tasso Feldman has a theater background too. So they could, I really do think, and not just because I love both of these actors and these characters, but I think it would be funny to see the dynamic between Irving and Nolan locked in a room, just the two of them.
Yes.
That would be so absurd. I would watch 4 hours of that. No joke. I would watch 4 hours of Nolan and Irving locked in a room narrating things.
That would be awesome.
Irving would get so irritated so fast. So irritated. Nolan would not pick up on it at all.
You'd
all right, so Tasso and Michael, we've got some work to do. We got ideas.
We got this.
So next week, we're going to see. I hope that this is, Belle's diagnosis is not something they're going to draw out of our episodes, because next week is the winter finale.
Oh.
So if you have not seen any of The Resident yet, after next week is your time to binge it on Hulu, or if you have the Fox Now app, go into the Fox Now app and binge it all. But it is Tuesdays, 8, 7 Central. So if you have been caught up, watch it. And what the preview showed was they hinted that Conrad figured out what it was, or at least an idea of what it could be. And Belle was like, yeah, that's not a good thing. Oh. So I'm wondering too, what a theory that I have is, through this whole episode, and even way back when Lila first started coming on, and with Billy too, Belle kind of took on a mentoring role. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering if, much like the surgical coach, if Belle sort of started to do that with the, because the surgical coach thing was seemed to be short-lived. It was only one episode, but it showed to be such a good idea that I'm wondering if the only reason they introduced that is so that they can move Belle into that position for the other surgeons, like he helped Lila overcome her fears and do that. So I'm because someone had suggested he's going to do paperwork. I don't see Belle doing that. He's too, his mind isn't done. It's his hands that seem to be done. So I think that he could still be a surgical coach. And I think that that's something we might look into down the line, especially if, I mean, he didn't look happy about what they thought the diagnosis would be. Aww. Did not look happy.
Aww.
But I think it will be treatable to some extent that he can, you know, go on.
I think it's probably going to be a cliffhanger. If it's the winter finale, you know that there's going to be a cliffhanger.
Uh-huh.
So I don't know what that cliffhanger is going to be. Is it going to be Belle's diagnosis? Is it going to be that we don't know it yet, or because we find out what it is and it's so big, or is it because, you know, they're leading you towards Belle and something will happen?
And the other thing we see in the preview too is that we get to see Conrad, and I love seeing Conrad in the field, because I think that's really where his mind is the most active. Because his background, he's constantly assessing things. So I like seeing him in the field. I didn't catch who else was there. I assume Trevor is going to be with him in the field, which I think will be really, really good for Trevor if he is. But we see them coming down the helicopter. It looks to be like some sort of pile up on an interstate of some sort. And then the preview ends where there's an explosion because one of the vehicles is leaking gas. Mm. But there's a lot of things that they show happening. Like, you know, when they have that editing trick where it's like a lot of chaos thrown at you, just tiny, tiny, tiny clips of a bunch of different things all at one time. That's kind of what they did. And then there was a voiceover, something along the line. I think one of them said, anything can happen right now. And then they showed you a bunch of clips of like different patients. So there's going to be a lot of patients. I think it's going to be another sort of scenario where it was all hands on deck, but I think we're going to see more patients next week.
Mm-hmm.
because they're on site and they're out in the field. And I love when they do those kind of episodes.
Yeah.
And they actually, Michael Hogan said they actually film in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. So I wonder if they actually just shut down a real highway in Atlanta and just we're going to film, which is pretty cool. You know, if you live there, hey, I take that.
That's what The Walking Dead did. They filmed in Atlanta too. And that's what they did.
Yeah, absolutely. Shut everything down, filmed. A friend of ours actually lived like a few miles away from where they actually filmed it. So cool. That was pretty cool.
The Walking Dead or The Resident?
The Walking Dead.
Okay.
Probably The Resident because they're both in Georgia. But
they live really close to the art museum.
They're just right there. They go to the same coffee shop as Conrad and Devin. So yeah.
Could you imagine?
Jeanette and my, both of our mouths just popped open a little bit and Tiffany just went.
And we all just got excited.
Her face just rose in
road smile. Trip to Atlanta. Yes. I mean,
you know, Amanda and I road trip to Chicago for a convention. I think now it's time we road trip south.
We can also
for our do own that. Sort of convention.
Yeah, just pick me up on the way. Like I'm on the way to Atlanta. I'm like only like 10 hours from it.
I'm only 14 hours from where you are. That'll be the deal. Days drive.
We could stop. We could
pick up Tiffany on the way down
in Covington and visit Mystic Falls on our way down.
And Mystic Falls and
Serenity.
Serenity, yes, that's filmed there too. See, three shows in one.
Let's do it.
Perfect.
Let's do it.
Resident cast, we're coming at you. Yeah, we're not going to come at you in like a we're going to murder you sort of way. Not a creepy way. Yeah, we just want to be friends.
Yeah,
come in peace.
Be my friend. You will be my friend.
Hey, Hogan and Feldman can attest that we are semi-normal people.
Yeah, we're normal-ish, right?
Okay. Is any fandom ever truly normal? Isn't that why we're a fan?
We are fun. Mm-hmm. You know. We are fun.
Absolutely.
But there is that.
I just want to watch Manish and Matt get coffee. I mean, I feel like that's a normal thing to want to do.
Or hold Gigi's hand as she's being walked down the stairs.
Oh. How about we just drink some coffee? That actually sounds really good right now.
I'm sure Maureen is, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
Makes me sick now a little bit.
Oh,
about. So I have my cup in the day, in the morning, and then I'm all done.
In your Taylor Kitsch mug?
I take pictures of it every time I drink out of it. And my husband's like, what are you doing? Nothing. Nothing's weird at all.
It's just a nice tall mug. You get lots of coffee in it, which is why you use it.
It's like 16 ounces.
Exactly.
So Bethany, I don't know if you saw, but Jeanette is my secret Santa. And she sent me, like a 16 ounce coffee cup because I like coffee. And it's got three pictures of Taylor Kitsch on there and my name in the middle of it.
Oh, that's so perfect.
I got it and I opened it up and I started laughing so hard because my family does not know that I'm like in love with this guy.
Oh no.
So I open it up. I'm like, oh, this is the perfect time to explain it. Thank you very much. And I just started laughing really hard. My 11-year-old's like, but why would she send you that? Like,
no.
I don't know. She knows that he's my favorite actor. I don't know. She's like, but wait, though, I don't understand. But why would she just send you his picture on a cup?
She did understand. And that's why she was trying to get you to admit it, Mom.
She didn't. Why? She was confused. Like, why would you do that? Because I've never talked about like any sort of crush or anything. But my middle child, who is 8 years old, she walked around and she went, ooh, he's good looking.
She understands.
Oh, cute. I love it.
So funny.
I laughed really hard. I went, wait, what did you just say? She went, nothing. He's just good looking.
Can't argue with that.
Exactly. Just verifying your facts. Okay, so that is what we see from next week. We kind of gave you our theories. You guys have any theories of what we're going to see coming down the plank? Next week we'll talk about what we think is coming after winter break, but what do you think about next week's episode?
I haven't seen the preview.
Don't everybody talk at one time.
I don't know.
I haven't seen the preview either.
Beth and I are the only smart two who actually watched the preview.
I forget.
Well, there you have it, our brilliant synopsis of next week's preview. Mm-hmm. all of us very, very intuitive and intelligent about
there's going to be an accident and there's going to be lots of patients. That's
you
what
think? Is there going to be a helicopter involved?
Some doctors.
We'll see doctors. We'll see nurses.
Probably a needle at some point. Absolutely. A stethoscope, I assume, is going to be in play.
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
So if you want to know more about our revelations or join our discussion on this week's episode, feel free to join us in our Facebook group. In fact, what are you waiting for? Be on there. Get in that group and join our community. I think that one has, 13,000 members? Like
13,000.
So there's 13,000 of us that just talk to Resident every week on there. Come and join us. Discuss the Resident with us. It is the Resident Chastain Family Fan Club on Facebook. We have discussions in there. We have fun posts. We're starting to do some fun Christmas stuff, giving you some ideas for bingeable Christmas movies. So tune in there. You can reach out to us at familyfanclub2021@gmail.com to let us know things you want to see, things you don't want to see, things you're like, can you scale back on that a little bit? Or things you want to be like, hey, give me more Dr. Nolan. Like,
right.
Let's get a petition going.
Hashtag more Dr. Nolan.
Remember that hashtag. We're going to put it in this video. All you got to do is copy and paste. Super easy.
Let's do it.
You can reach us on any one of our social medias. We've got Instagram. We've got Twitter. We've got TikTok, all under Fandom Family Chats. Hit us up there. See our awesome videos. Maybe we'll put on a video of Dr. Nolan. I'm like, maybe Michael Hogan, maybe you will get TikTok now. And then we can make you like viral. So let's do that.
Okay, we'll get on it.
So next week we are talking the winter finale of The Resident. That's season 5, episode 10. And Grey's Anatomy returns next week, right? Let's come back to the 9th. So yeah. Teen Wolf is coming Wednesday. We're doing Teen Wolf Wednesday. And followed by Resident winter finale. So tune in. We'll see you then. Bye, guys.
Bye.